This is the Roller Coaster Podcast, and I'm your host, Lucy Q. Life is a wild ride. It has twists and turns. It's scary, exciting, and downright fun. So throw your head back, arms in the air, and come along with me for the ride. Episode 200 of the Roller Coaster will soon be here, and this is your chance to be part of the fun. I'm going to be recording this episode with coaches and listeners just like you. If you want to be part of the fun, head over to nectaregrowth.com. Sign up for free and RSVP for the November 18th event. All of the details will be under the events tab. I can't wait to see you there. What are you waiting for? Come join us. You know you're worth it. Are you stuck between wanting to accomplish big things and finding the time to make them happen? I get it. You don't have enough time. You're too busy. There's not enough hours in the day. But are you going to let this time problem stop you from creating the best version of yourself? Joining me today is Kyle Gillette of Gillette Solutions to share his sage mindset and how you can unlock your potential. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. So I'm curious, what does it mean to have a sage mindset?
Yeah, so I am an acronym guy. I love acronyms and I love alliteration because it makes life easier for me, at least, maybe for other people too, but it just makes things easier to remember. And so I wanted a way to remember a leadership framework that I could coach through and teach people through. And a sage mindset is the idea that all great leaders are sage leaders. And what is meant by that is that they are self-aware. They have powerful accountability in place. They maintain a growth mindset, and they empower others to do and achieve amazing things. And the way that I like to describe it is it's like a leadership house. So in order to have a great home, to have a great house, to have a great leadership house, you need to have a really good foundation, a firm foundation, and that's self-awareness. The stronger and more self-aware someone is, the stronger that foundation is. Then to have a growth mindset is the walls and the roof of your leadership. So the stronger your growth mindset, the larger your building can be, the more people can be underneath your leadership, and the more you can impact other people. Then empowerment is the windows and the doors. It's the idea that people can see into your leadership and step into your leadership as well, but also look out as they're being led by you and step out or leave and do their own thing as a result of being mentored or influenced by you. And then finally, accountability. And I know it's out of order, but I got to do it in this order. Accountability is the nails that holds everything together. So if you don't have accountability in your leadership, externally and internally, of course, then this leadership house will fall. So that's a simple nutshell version of what sage mindset is.
Okay. And, you know, I like the reference to a house because I think it's important for people to realize that leadership isn't necessarily because you're running a huge corporation. We are all leaders in various aspects of our life, whether it's in our own homes, in our communities, or in our jobs.
Yep, I totally agree with you. And you need each one of those four pillars to be a great leader. And if you look into the biographies of great leaders, like the leaders of the world, of today, of the past, they carry those, all four of those pillars with them, and they exemplify them in really amazing ways. And so that's a big root of why I created this framework.
What was the catalyst for you creating the sage mindset?
So from 2005 through 2014, I lived and worked in this men's mentoring program. So off and on. So I lived in it at the beginning, and then I only worked for it for the rest of the time. So about 8 years working there and then 1 year living there. And the program was about helping these guys that were off track in life. So they came in with some sort of, a lot of times, drug and alcohol histories, but sometimes they didn't have that. They'd have just off track and they didn't know what to do with themselves. And so we helped them find traction in life again. We'd help them answer three key questions, which were, where am I? Where do I want to go? And how do I get there? And so after doing that for almost a decade and being mentored the whole time, every week, I had an amazing boss. Every week he would take me to lunch and he would just mentor me for 90 minutes every single week. Plus he'd help me throughout the week. And I got so much leadership training from him. He had run 30 businesses, retired at 50 years old, and just had started this nonprofit and poured into people, including myself. And so I got a decade of that. And when I moved up here with my wife, I was going, man, what do I do with all that knowledge? How do I use that going forward? Because it was so impactful and it made a huge difference. I mean, it literally saved people's lives because some of these people were suicidal. And I'm going, this can be used somewhere. And I didn't know where. Fast forward a few years after fumbling around with a couple, career paths, I jumped into HR and I got exposed to personality assessments. And I realized that I had a gift at that, but that it wasn't mine. It wasn't my tool. I couldn't do whatever I wanted with it. So I knew I needed to create my own tool. And so it was months of thinking about this. And then I ended up quitting my job. And then another few months of thinking about, okay, what's the tool? What's the framework that I'm going to create? And I remember waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning and hearing the words self-awareness, or the word self-awareness. And I went, that's it. Cause I'd already been chewing on some sort of an acronym to put together. And I jumped out of bed and I scrambled into the kitchen, sitting there shivering just in my boxers. And for the next 4 hours, I'm writing down the beginnings of the SAGE framework. So that's the origin story. And it was truly incredible because it's like, it's mine, but it's not. It came from outside of myself, which I find to be really, really neat. Cause then I don't have to take credit. And it keeps me kind of calm or humble about what it does for other people. So
those two questions, where am I and where am I going? I find that so few people actually stop and ask themselves those questions. They don't even, I want to say it doesn't even cross their minds to ask themselves those questions. So how often are you seeing people that, they're sort of at that point where they're like, okay, wait a second, things aren't working out for me. And sort of that next step.
Yeah. Most of the time when people come to me, it's because they are at that point of stuck of going, they might know where they are, but they're going, I'm stuck.
Yeah, but I don't know where I am.
Right, exactly. But I don't know how to go to where I want to go. Or I don't even know where I want to go. And so for me, what I've discovered is the fundamental first step is those folks usually are overwhelmed or overworked or some other overword or under something. In other words, they're so burdened with what's going on in their life and in their business that they can't even think straight to know where they are or where they want to go. And so if we can help them to get a little bit of sanity or sobriety, I like to call it sobriety, because if we're so busy with busyness instead of business, then we're not sober and we're not operating at our full functional abilities. And then we can't think clearly to get to where we want to go or to even know where we want to go. So once they can get some semblance of efficiency and organization, then we can really knock it out of the park and start working on the mindsets and start working on the pillars that I mentioned before. But typically it is that time problem of overwhelm and all that stuff.
Yeah. And sort of in the same lines of being overwhelmed and the things that we do to ourselves, we create that busyness. I find that busyness that we create in our lives is another form of numbing. It's no different than, drinking, using drugs, binge watching TV. They're all different ways that we self-sabotage to make sure that we're not feeling, that we're not realizing. And I see people playing the busy card as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you ask somebody what's going on, they're like, oh, I'm so busy. And well, what are you busy doing? And
stuff.
Stuff. One of the questions I love to ask is, are you busy being a human doing or being a human being? And there's a big difference between the two, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are human doings right now. because for whatever reasons, but they're choosing to be human doings. And it's just all about task. It's about accomplishing. It's about, there's just a lack of value and purpose and real clear direction. And then it feels a little bit empty for a lot of the folks. And that's not ideal. that's really not ideal.
No. Have you found, I mean, there's a big glaring global pause that we've had for 18 months. Depending on your country, you're different areas of still dealing with it. But have you found that pause, because people weren't busy running their kids all over the place, going back and forth to work and all of the social engagements, have you found that extra time has given more people the opportunity to realize, hey, wait a second, I've been busy, but what am I actually doing?
Yeah, in my inner circle and a little bit beyond too, I have noticed that there's people that have really leveraged this season, let's call it, where they've read a bunch of books, they've taken time out to go do things by themselves or to do things with their family that they normally wouldn't do. They've taken a vacation. And not everybody's had the privilege of being able to do those things, but those people have really grounded themselves a lot more. It's just created this really magical new awareness and grounding that has allowed them, for a lot of people, to quit their jobs. And they go and start a business because they realize what they really want is something internal to them. That's something that's manifesting out of them and they want to create. So they start their own business, or they quit their job and jump into a different path because it just allowed everybody to slow down and pause and go, wait a second, this isn't what I want. And I'm actually going to have the courage to take a step and not stay here. And so for a lot of people, they actually were able to answer that question, where am I? And then ask the next question and say, where do I want to go? And for the courageous, they took the step to go, okay, I'm going to start going after it. But it's hard. It's hard, but for a lot of people, they did it. So I do think the pandemic has been and still is, unfortunately, been really amazing for some people that have chosen to leverage it in that way.
Yeah, and I have noticed in the headlines more and more conversations surrounding people are just leaving their jobs. They don't want to do what they were doing before. They've had that, their brain, our minds can be so cluttered with our busyness that you don't actually have time to process what is it you want. And I think that's what some people took out of all of this was, oh, hey, wait a second, I want to take a different route. But I've also seen a lot of people doubling down on the numbing.
Yes, I agree. Unfortunately, yeah, it's true. In the state of Washington, people are allowed to smoke pot. And I don't have like a vendetta or anything against people smoking pot, but I have noticed that there is a lot of use of that. And when I do some interviewing for clients, and I have to disclose that these folks are gonna have to take a drug test, and 90% of the people are smoking pot, and they talk to me about it, and they tell me that they do it like every night. And again, there's no judgment behind what I'm saying here, but why? why are people doing that? And then my wife's a nurse, and she works in the emergency department, and I can't give you an exact percentage, but I'm gonna say that it's at least 80% of the people that come in there coming either drunk or high. It's not because of a broken leg, a gunshot, or a knife wound, or whatever. It's because they're drunk or high, and that's different to what it was before. And it's for me, it breaks my heart because that program I was a part of, that's who I helped. And so when I learn about these folks, I'm going, they just need a couple conversations and to be loved for a long season, a couple conversations, and then to be loved for a long time. And the two conversations don't really fix anything. It's the love for a long time that does. But nobody's doing that for these folks. It's really difficult to find an avenue to give them that opportunity. And a lot of them don't want to take the opportunity if there is one. So well, it's very strange. Yes, it is.
It is scary. It's easy to sit there and look at where you are in life and think, okay, this sucks. But the minute you go, okay, but if I don't want this, then what do I want? That's that's when you start to get the fear bubbling up because you're like, well, I don't know what I want. You know, yeah. You've really never given yourself the space to really analyze that. So that's where your fear starts. And then, I mean, you're going to take it to a whole new level when you actually decide, oh, okay, well, I want to start my own business. I want to be a coach, or, you know, I want to make movies. Actually taking the inspired action to make that happen, that's where you need that massive leap of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's, you said fear. So it made me immediately think about what fear stands for, which is false events appearing real. And you may have heard that, and there's probably listeners that heard that too. But the other side of that is, the other side of fear is faith. The belief that whatever you're afraid of, whatever you're kind of diving into, that you can make it through. And I think another piece of this that the pandemic has really revealed, and that we all know as humans, is that we need relationship. If we're human doings, yes, we're not in relationship very well. But if we're human beings, we are. And in order for Susie to get into the movies, or to start her business, or to really grow her business, she needs to excel in relationships ultimately. And those relationships are what makes a huge difference. And there's certain really pertinent ones, like a coaching relationship, like the, you know, spousal or close friends type relationships, that make all the difference. But if you don't do that foundational work of who am I really? What am I really about? That self-awareness work, it's really difficult to have really healthy and deep levels of friendships and of relationships in general. So I think a lot of people, again, that's why that's the foundation piece. You got to take the time and do the work to get to a place where you can be healthy enough to recognize the changes that you can make, or you're already healthy and you just want to get to the next level. It doesn't have to start unhealthy at all.
But those relationships, you know, what comes to mind when you're talking about the relationships and discovering who you really are, for me, that's because you can't show up authentically unless you actually become self-aware and acknowledge who you are and who you're not.
Yep.
Because I mean, 90% of what you see on Instagram is people being something that they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this is why, so I just want to kind of parlay this into the app thing, because I'm really excited about the app, because it's a way for people to do exactly what we're talking about. Because who we are is a bundle of habits, if you think about it. We're the way we wake up, what we do right after we wake up, what we do, the way we eat, the way we interact, the way I gesture, you gesture, all those things are just a bundle of habits. And so if you start to monitor those habits and track those habits, especially if you want to start new ones or stop old ones, then you can actually start to really impact yourself in the long term, change your mindsets, and really shift your life dramatically. And so I noticed that there's apps out there about journaling, where you journal about your life and what's going on. And then there's also habit tracking apps. But I've realized that if you combine the two, then you're really making some powerful progress, because what I've done is I've taken the idea that, okay, if you think about the football games that recently happened or soccer games that recently happened, people know the box score. They know who scored the goals or who scored the touchdowns, how many yards, all these things. And if you ask people about their finances, they can tell you their budget, maybe. They can tell you about what's going on with their business. They can give you stats about all that stuff, but they can't give you stats on their own personal growth. Almost nobody has stats on how they're growing. You know, what percentage have I grown this month? What percentage have I grown this year? How have I improved in this particular area? And so I put together an app that allows you to put in a set of behaviors, track those behaviors so that you know the progress you're making. What's the word? Quantify? Yeah, quantify them with a score every day, so that you can monitor the progress. And then you do it in community so that people remind you and encourage you to keep going. And so after 30 days, 90 days, all of a sudden, this, for me, I have a habit of, I call it the magic of transitions, of trying to get really good at that. And I've been terrible for like 2 months. But then just the last week, it shifted because I've been tracking it and I've been talking to people about it. And now today was my best day so far. And it's because I'm seeing the track, and I'm seeing the improvement or the lack of improvement. And that I think is huge, because it answers the question, where am I? And then you've already determined where you want to go by just putting the habit in there. So I'm freaking pumped about.
Where do we get the app? Where do we get the app?
Yeah, so you can get it on the Google Play Store and also the App Store for iPhones. You can find it under Sage Mindset. Just type in Sage Mindset and you'll find it there. So
okay, so your app, we then put in our habits. And then how do we measure ourselves against? So say, for example, I'm trying to think of a habit I want to try and break. There's so many. No. Could you maybe give an example of a habit that you could put in there, and then how you would monitor and track your progress against it?
Yeah. So the way it's set up is there's four different categories, which is directly tied to Sage. So one for each of those pillars. And so let's take empowerment. Let's say you're a business owner that really wants to get better at encouraging your employees. So the habit would be, you can make it really specific and put in there, say several encouraging things each day as an example, or you could make a little bit less specific and say, being an encouraging person. And that's a very empowering thing to do for people. And then the way you monitor it is, it's all going to have to be nuanced based on your own perception of how well you've done. The better you do, the higher your score. So if you had a terrible day and you didn't encourage anybody, or you're actually kind of nasty to somebody, you're going to get a one. But if you did fantastic and you purposely pulled aside a friend or an employee or something and had an encouraging conversation with them, you might give yourself a four or a five. And over time, you're scoring yourself on that scale and you'll see this improvement. And then you also journal about that specific behavior. So you type in, you could put in one word or you can put in 1,000 words. It doesn't matter, but you put in the journal. And the power of that is, one, you're quantifying, you're objectively looking at what you did that day. And then two, you're really diving into the mindset behind what you did, how you did it, and what could shift. And together it creates this actual mind changes, actual structural changes in your mind that result in change that lasts.
Okay. So how can we take the Sage Mindset and start to change the way that we're living and create better leaders?
Yeah, it's day by day, ultimately. So, there's so much I could tell you right here. So I'll give you basics on each. So self-awareness would be the habit, the morning habit is what I would say, is getting up earlier than you normally do, unless you're already an early riser and you already have a morning habit, then just continue. But a morning habit of self-work, which is reading, which is potentially meditating, which is exercise, all kinds of things, whatever fits the individual, that's that time. Accountability is going to be selecting a group of 2 to 3 people that you meet with weekly or biweekly, that you sit with them either on the phone, on Zoom, or in person, preferably in person, that you meet with them and you discuss your growth as a business owner, your growth personally, whatever you want to do there. And that is unbelievably powerful. So you do that accountability work. And then the growth work is picking a topic, is what I love to do, is pick a topic to focus on and to study that for a period of time, 30 to 90 days, no longer, and just really drill into that specific topic. Sometimes the topic could be physical, meaning like you're just getting in a better shape. And other times the topic can be more intellectual, which would be like learning about neurolinguistic programming, for example, or NLP. Then you could go to empowerment, and empowerment is all about obviously empowering other people. And so choosing ways to empower other people in your business and in those that you influence, this is typically inviting other people into accountability or inviting people to things that you're doing. It's very invitation-based in terms of empowering other people. And if you're a boss, it's getting the heck out of the way of your employees. It's taking the time to not answer their questions and actually empower them to answer their own questions and get out of your own way so they can achieve more, and you can not be so burdened by all the questions that people ask. So those are just some examples. I mean, there's millions of examples, but those are really root examples of work that people can do with Sage.
And what are some of the ways that we do get in our own way?
Back to the beginning, doing too much, being too busy, right? The other one is not concentrating long enough on a particular thing. There's a story of this guy that is traveling, and he gets to meet all these famous people. He travels in time and meets all these famous people. And one of the last people he meets is an archangel. And he meets this archangel in a warehouse. And in the warehouse, there's millions and millions and millions of items. And one of the items that's in there is this table. And on top of the table is a stack of paper that's, 10 feet tall. And in that stack of paper, he was able to pull a couple things out. And he's really confused about what all this stuff is. And the archangel explains it to him that all these documents, all these papers are what could have been accomplished if the person would have just stuck with it just a little bit longer. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people fail at, is they don't just stick with it. They give up too quick. And when you roll in the accountability, you roll in the growth mindset, you roll in the self-awareness, all those things, then it's a lot easier to stick with it, whatever quote it is.
When things get hard, well, we don't like things to be hard. We like things to be easy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, we all do. So, it's a built-in fail-safe that our brains have, that it's, when you start hitting that resistance, your brain's like, oh, I'm not comfortable. Let's back on out of here. Let's, don't do that. So, yep. We can be our own worst enemies.
Yeah. And I'm writing a book on Sage right now. And one of the mindsets that I really encourage people to have is a failure mindset. And it's the idea that you go into business, you go into life with the desire to fail. You're purposefully doing things to get no's, to fail, for it to not work out. You're putting out MVPs or minimal viable products that probably won't work, but you're going to learn a heck of a lot from it. You're asking people for really big things, but you're probably not going to get it. But all those failures lead to unbelievable new insights, new confidence, and of course, back to the foundation, to self-awareness, and it's going to grow you and it's going to empower you. I mean, all of that ties together, but you got to have that willingness and purpose to fail, genuinely purpose to fail every day. Do even if it's a tiny one, but to purpose to fail. And I think that, along with consistency and accountability, is what allows people to grow and to really move forward in ways that don't look possible at first.
And I think when it comes to failure, people see it as a bad thing.
100%, yeah.
And I think therein lies the problem, is that failure isn't good or bad. It's just learning.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
And as we just wrap up here, Kyle, do you have any final words of wisdom, final thoughts you want to share?
Sure. So one of the things I mentioned, the magic of transitions, and I love this. It's been really powerful for me, because so many people are so busy, like we were saying before, that it's difficult for them to stay grounded and to stay present. They just go in their mind or get distracted by things. And the idea is, when you and I are done with this conversation, you're going to hit stop. We'll probably chat for a bit. And then we're both going to go on with our days. You're going to go do your own thing, and I'm going to go do my own thing. Well, when we go on with our own days, that's a transition. The moment that happens, when I go to get up, that's a transition. When I'm done eating dinner, for example, and I get up from dinner, that's another transition. We experience hundreds of them every single day. And if we can leverage even just 10% of those transitions by doing one of two things, either being reflective and thinking about our day, thinking about how we feel, what's our body physically feel like, what are we thinking, those types of things, or just listening and not reflecting, but just listening. What some people say, the universe, I say God. What is God telling me? What is the universe telling me? And just listen, or listen to your environment. What's the environment telling you? That is extremely powerful. And can do amazing things for you. So that's the habit that I've tried to really implement for growth purposes for me. And like I said before, it's taken about 60 days to make any sort of real progress. But this week, it totally unlocked. And it was because this stupid thing was always in my pocket. And when I leave it on the table and I don't carry it around, I don't instantly put my hand in my pocket and look at it. And then I have mind space to actually think. So that would be, you know, something that I strongly encourage the listeners to consider. You know, you transition every day, multiple times, use them to your own advantage.
Tune in and be engaged with yourself.
Yeah. Love it. Tune in. Great word. Yeah.
And how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So two ways, go download that app, go to the app store and download that. I'm on there all the time and there's a messaging system. So I'll directly connect with you. And number two, visit my website, GilletteSolutions.com. And I always offer a free discovery call or a free clarity call where we can talk 30 minutes and there's no obligation. I just love to connect with people and learn what's going on with them. So GilletteSolutions.com or visit the app store.
If you're looking at connecting with Kyle, make sure you check out the show notes. I'm going to have all of the links in there. And Kyle, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing the Sage Mindset.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roller Coaster Podcast. Want to chat or share your ideas about today's show? Pop me an email at hello@therollercoasterpodcast.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at The Roller Coaster Podcast. Our theme song, Roller Coaster, was performed by The Lucky Setback. Audio editing by the one and only Jeff Quigley of Quigley Creative.
Life is like a roller coaster, baby, baby. I wanna ride, 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 ride. Life is like a roller coaster, baby.